Greetings, ogling, wigger, and man's ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open air coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few found sheep of the house of Israel, to whom this recording is mainly aimed at. This is the movement third, number 63.5, and the chat is of 31st March of this year. Now, right now, it's actually 9th of April, and I'm not quite sure what to call the movement third just yet. Let me think of something. Hold on. I'm going to call it Regime Criminals Support Their Own Kind of Criminals. Now, folks, that's exactly what regime criminals do. They are living off of white people. They're living off of productive white people. And as a result, they are not on the side of productive white people because, as they look at, productive white people are their subjects, are their cattle. Regime criminals look upon white men as nothing more than cattle. They act just like Jews. Now, in this segment, which was done, 10 days ago, we were discussing, I was tired after writing up an answer to the Missouri Republican Party, and the Missouri Republican Party essentially said that I had unclean hands and I should lose my lawsuit because I am a racist. I'm a white supremacist. Now, these people want to live off of white people. It ain't niggers that pay taxes, it ain't beaners that pay taxes, all they do is consume taxes. But you see, white people don't have a right to resist their parasitism. Anyway, we're talking about John Britton's daughter Joy, who married this little monster. He's probably white, but you got to wonder by now on the way he acts, because he acts no better than a Jew. But then again, so do Whiggers. And this little bastard got him and his crazy mother, Lorena, a.k.a. known as Green Tooth, to claim that John Britton's daughter, Joy, had been abusing her kid, and she was crazy, and she threatened to shoot that worthless piece of shit, Chris, so he had to take away the gun safe, and they put her in that house for 96 hours, and there she met some guy who treated her a whole lot better. And I was trying to go ahead and, you know, me and John Britt were trying to just go ahead and have a quiet, amicable divorce to where both sides get to keep the kid. But no, he can't do that. He cannot do that. He's got to make sure that he gets not only custody, but that his daughter Joy, or John's daughter Joy, keeps him up. And in order to go ahead and do that, they decided upon the wonderful thing of saying that Joy, you know, Joy was Aryan Nations, and somehow a letter or something like that threatening a judge got found out on the Bannock County Courthouse door in Pocatello, Idaho. And this piece of shit went ahead and had no less than 17 pigs, including four from the U.S. Marshals Service, arrest Joy Britton Luna. 83 pounds, and here's this 240-pound fat little piece of wigger shit, little monster, pretending that he was scared to death of his 83-pound wife. Well, he treated her rather badly, and she's been gaining a little bit of weight since she got out. She's not really anorexic. She just doesn't eat a whole awful lot. But in any case, you have, you know, she's rather docile like a sheep. Now, she was supposed to have got divorced way back at the end of 2009 and early 2010, but while her father, John, was away driving a truck, got their mother to drive to go ahead and pick up the child. You know, they were going to get a divorce, and you had the Mormon Church in Joyce Corner. You had, of course, John Britton, his wife, Lorinda. You had this divorce lawyer. You had a number of people because they knew about this evil little bastard. Now, way back when he was 15 or so, his 17 or 18-year-old brother, Basil, went ahead and molested their 4-year-old sister. And from what I gather, the older one is in prison still for what he did. And Chris got off because he's a juvenile. You see, they sort of think that juvenile criminals get to run wild until such time as they turn 18, and then they get to run wild. That's the same way that Brian Reel and the rest of these people do. They get to play Nazi, or they get to play anti-racist activist, or they get to do whatever, and they get to run wild, predating not only upon their own, but upon other white people. And they get it concealed, and as a result, he has 8 or 12 sealed records, and he's still violent. Still violent. From my guess, he was violent in 2008. Got convicted for property damage and battery or something like that. In any case, a rather cowardly, degenerate, evil piece of shit, he got his mother, Lorena, to write up a bogus bomb threat, and they tried to get Joy Britton sent to prison over that. Well, here come 17 pigs, including four United States Marshals. You don't know what the rest of them were. State pigs, local pigs, and the rest. They don't give her any bond, don't give her any bail, bring her forth in shackles, and here's old Chris bringing his daughter to show her mother, being humiliated like that. But turns out that Joy didn't write the letter. And about a week later or so, who writes the letter? Why, hey, turns out that Lorena Luna, 180-pound, fat, psychotic, young bitch from Arkansas, her husband had to divorce her because she was a crazy bitch. And you know what sort of sons that she raised? Ones that can't keep their hands off of her 4-year-old daughter. And from what I gather, the daughter don't have much use for either one of the bunch anymore. But in any case, it turns out that, guess what? She was the one who wrote it. So Chris gets on, he makes a big old bitch and piss and moan about, oh, how Joy is crazy, and he doesn't really support his mother, you know, writing that, but oh, she did it for the best of reasons. And then I get on, because Chris has a whole bunch of restraining orders went out. Pretty well, he went ahead and did it. Me and John didn't know about it. John asked me to wrote a letter, simply asked him, hey, why don't you have an amicable divorce? I'll take you up to Alaska with me for the summer, and you can be my mechanic. And no, this guy don't want to do that. He wants to live off his wife, just like a nigger or an Indian or anything like something like that. So, in any case, all this comes up, and essentially, I went ahead and wrote a bunch of answers to this story. And let me see. Let me go ahead and look for the story. Okay. It's www.localnews8.com/news/27333138/detail.html. And he had about a day or so to run wild, and then John Britton brought to my attention. So I wrote about 6 things. We'll go ahead and trash in all these government workers and the rest of these parasites who support fellow criminals. And essentially gave old Chris a good thunking. And initially, after item 4, they decided to moderate me, but then they decided, well, guess what? This little criminal played us, so let him go ahead and get his ass chewing. So after I went ahead and chewed on his ass quite a bit, well, that's it here. But folks, for all these people here, all together worried about Aryan Nations terrorism, well, it turned out that Joy had nothing to do with it. It was altogether a crazy green-toothed woman, you know, who's drawing a crazy check. And more than likely, her son got her to write it, dictated it to her, and either him or one of his confederates taped it to the courthouse door. And now the prosecutoress of in Pocatello or Bannock County refuses. I am the law. I refuse to do anything more than a misdemeanor. Well, I thought a forgery. I thought trying to send somebody else to prison. I thought that actually making a bomb threat or something like that, to where you have to close down the where you have to close the courthouse down for 6-8 hours. I sort of thought that'd be a felony, but at least forgery should be. But no, this prosecuting attorney refused to do it. And from my gather, they're going to try to conceal Chris Luna's criminal sealed records. Now, aren't you worried that Chris Luna might sue you? I says, well, if he does sue me, then from my gather, he's going to have to go ahead and show the sealed records. Now, these sealed records were known by the divorce lawyer way back at the end of 2009, 2010. And from what I gather, she was a rather vindictive bitch who was a divorce lawyer, but she was going to go ahead and bring them thing out because guess what? This guy molested his 4-year-old sister. Why would you trust him, why would you trust his daughter with him? Why would you do that? They ain't very smart. So, in any case, I'm not too worried about it. From what I gather, I do actually believe that these sealed records do exist, and that's what they go ahead and do it. And just because some criminal or parasite is a predator doesn't mean that he gets a free ride in my book. But folks, what is interesting is that this was no longer an interesting thing. It no longer had anybody even paying attention to it. Once they found out, Zog found out that there was no Aryan Nations context. All there was some crazy, silly bitch being run by our evil little predator son to try to go ahead and frame somebody whose father might be Aryan Nations, but who by herself is not dangerous at all. And folks, that's what you have in this country. You have these criminals running around, supporting other criminals. Because they look at it, their fellow parasites are on their side. It's all together a plot, just like Satan's Jews here. His spawn, through Cain, have always been about destroying the white man, destroying the Adamic people, destroying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel's seed. And folks, if you have parasites that arise from there, the offal that in a better period would have simply just been put down or beat up or shoved to the margins, and understood rightly so that they were shoved to the margins, you wouldn't have that problem. But folks, what we have is that it's not altogether just Jews, it's not altogether Mamzers being Mamzers. In many cases, it's Whiggers. We do indeed have a Whigger problem. Now, looking back on, from April 9th, 10 days later, 7 years ago, my grandchildren were taken out of the only home they'd ever knew, crying and screaming, by criminals, by regime criminals. The local Division of Family Services, the Granby Pigs, the Newton County Pigs. And folks, I swore an oath that whatever I would do, I would do my best to send every single regime criminal and their spawn and anybody who supports these regime criminals, I would do my best to send them screaming to hell. And folks, I want this great tribulation to happen. I want everybody who's on the side of Zog, who even remotely is on the side of Zog, I want them to get screaming to hell. Now today I took down Puppy Dog for his little rabies shot and his little city tag. Here are all these bastards from the city pretend that, I'm their buddy. And no, I'm not their buddy. I want you bastards to die. But I didn't have anything to say to them. I had very little to say to them. Just paid over the $8 for the rabies shot and the rest. And that was that. But folks, I'm not a man who forgives or forgets, but the thing about it is, you can't allow Whiggers to run wild. Whiggers want to die. And what they want to do is they want to bring you down with them. Tonight I was barbecuing some chicken, and I had my brother Piggle come by, and he's trying to tell me about, how he's so badly put off here. He wants me to buy the trailer house down there. And he can go up to South Dakota. I says, why don't you just go ahead and let me have the farm and half the money? And you go on up to South Dakota. Go right on up to South Dakota. Well, no, you don't want to do that. And essentially all it was just a bunch of prying and poking to figure out whether or not I had lost my temper with them, I'd lost my patience with them, and whether or not I'm going to sue his worthless ass. But my brother is a worthless, thieving wigger. It would have been far better if he'd have died of his hair lip or something way back when, rather than grow up to be a traitor against his father and his older brother. He told me last May that he wished that the government had sent me to prison for the rest of my life on this bogus crap that they dealt against me. And folks, they do that sort of shit. This regime is out to destroy you. It's out to destroy the white man. And the only thing that's going to save the white man is if the white man destroys them. Destroys any Whigger who sides with them. Destroys all the Mamzers and all the Jews. The only thing that's going to save us is a great tribulation. Well, folks, I have some good news. The Great Tribulation is coming closer and closer and closer. The other day, they avoided a shutdown, which is a pity. But, folks, people don't have the money, and sooner or later, there will be a shutdown because things will indeed fall apart. So, for now, let's go ahead and talk. Let's go ahead and play the theme song, Whigger Problem, which usually goes in there. Then we'll cover the three segments of chat, and then finish up. And that'll be that for this episode of The Movement Turd, which is 10 days late. Sorry, but better late than never. I've been working on my court cases, and I need to go ahead and do first things first. So, folks, hail victory. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Whigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, stupid Whiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wishers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. the way they want to go. And they're always eating rock.
This is the movement turd number 63.5, I believe. I haven't got episode number 63 up today, and yesterday I was working on this lawsuit, and I got the thing out. I got the two I had to mail out. I got mailed out to the U.S. District Courthouse in Springfield, and it should get there tomorrow. And I got it to the lawyer from the Missouri Republican Party. His name is Robert Hess, and a Rudolph Hess this critter is not. I mean, the character looks like a sort of little mamzer of some sort, and he's a lawyer who got very, very, very good grades, and now he's a little corporate lawyer. Essentially, he was asking that my lawsuit against the Missouri Republican Party be dismissed, and he lied like a dog about, how badly the Missouri Republican Party was treated, and he talked about how I was not showing good respect to our nigger in chief, our African Americuan from Kenya or wherever the hell this critter is from. and I made fun of the nigger, of course, and made fun of Roy Blunt and the rest of the Republicans. So I went ahead and drafted and sent a number of people, the initial draft. I pulled an all-nighter. I worked a little bit on it yesterday, but I really worked on it, pretty well intense from my most intense was from about 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning when nobody is there to give me a hard time. Little puppy dog is sleeping in bed next to Roxy. Everything is quiet, and that's when I get the most productive writing done. And pretty well, I finished up most of it till about 7 o'clock, then went outside for a little bit. It was a real nice looking day, and it turned rainy, of course, though. It turned bad. Finished the thing off around, 8 o'clock, 8:30. And sent the thing off to a number of people, asking for their opinions. There were a lot of people who liked it. Harold Covington's bunch liked it, because I was pretty well talking is that, look, what you've done, and this particular lawyer was whining about pussy about me not being only rude to Obongo, but he was whining that I had unclean hands. Well, what unclean hands did I have? Answer, I had the unclean hands because I'm a racist. Yep, I'm a racist. Well, what stupid crap. I went ahead and pointed out that, folks, supposedly this matter was settled long ago, to my satisfaction, way back, and then it got changed in the case of Smith versus Allwright, to where this Lonnie Smith, who was a nigger sharecropper, wanted to vote in the Texas Democrat all-white primary, and there was an actual law which said that you could not get a Texas Democratic Party primary ballot unless you were white. So he pissed and he moaned and he brought it all up there, and I think the nigger Thurgood Marshall may have had something to do with it too. I don't know. But 1944, the United States Supreme Court ruled that niggers got to vote in all white Democrat primary elections. Now let's go up to 2006. We have Trader Glenn Miller. He runs as, he wants to run as a Republican for Congress. I'm in the nut house. He didn't want to run in 2004 for United States Senator like I asked him to. And that's pretty well where me and Trader Glenn Miller, he sort of found out that I was sort of, crapping on him. Because I made the mistake of telling what a piece of shit he was on VNNF. Wow, admitting I was trying to get him to run for office, and either Whigger Squill or Ron Doggett, I think, blew the whistle on me, and he called me up, and Trader Glenn Miller was very, very, very hurt that I'd pulled Trader Glenn Miller on him. You have insulted my manhood, motherfucker. I said, look, you know, you're a rat. You don't have any manhood. If you had any left, maybe I'll come over some night and remove what little he got left with a dull knife. Well, I said, look, you called me. What do you want? Don't ever call me again. I said, well, that's a pretty sure bet here that I'm not after, after tonight. And I remember it was on March 12th of 2004. It was on a Thursday. Because he was cutting into my watching Survivor at the time. So, maybe I was a little bit short, Trader Glenn Miller. So he wrote a big old letter to Alex Linder, and Alex Linder wrote his side, you know, Trader Glenn Miller's side of the story, and it's still over there on VNNF in the archives, if you want to look at it. And, after the bastard ran out of my trailer, in late July or early August of 2000, I managed to convince Louis Beam and Kat Yelaine that, you know, the bastard is coming back. He's trying to get back in. And it was probably up to somebody to make sure he never came back like he did that when he ran out. In Chapter 3 of his ghostwritten book, he admits that he ran out at Greensboro. Ran out like a yellow dog. And he blames this other guy for being the traitor. I think Trader Glenn Miller was a traitor even back then. I think the worthless Anglo Mestizo drunken bastard has been spying on Whiggers, pretend to be Klansmen or whatever, ever since he was in the Army. I think he was a snitch before he got into the white nationalist movement after he retired from the Army. I think he was a snitch in the Army. He certainly was a cowardly piece of shit at Greensboro. He ran out. He admitted he ran out. And like I told, asked Louis Beam and, you know, Kat Yelaine, I said, look, part of the reason a lot of people have gotten trouble over him is that when he ran out like a coward at Greensboro, some Klansman, you know, Klan leader or somebody should have said, hey, look, this yellow dog ran out on us. He's not somebody to be trusted for a leadership job at all. In fact, he should be pretty well cut, out of the movement too. And Louis Beam, he went along with it here. Me and Louis had to work a little bit on Kat Yelaine because she hated Trader Glenn Miller, and she had because she was married to David Lane. What we managed to convince her is that rather than somebody else actually like the worthless bastard, that someone like me would pretend to like him and put up his ghost-written book because it was making the rounds. He had a thousand of them printed out or so. And she got to see it. She was upset about the book, about the murderer of Fallenberg, you know, and all this sort of thing when, you know, Trader Glenn Miller was talking shit about him. And, any case, getting on with it, it's sort of going on right now. I probably should have notified Frank and Whigger. I didn't know how tired I would be. I've gotten a second wind. So, yeah, I'm recording the show, and it looks like Whigger Problem is recording the show just in case I need a backup copy. He seems to have a very good copy himself or ability to record this. And in any case, going on is that essentially I promised to go ahead and put up his book. Now after Chapter 3, when he admitted he ran out on the Greensboro, you know, on the Klan and the Nazis at Greensboro, I sort of gave up putting too much more on the internet. But Trader Glenn Miller was real glad I went ahead and did it, and he pretty well used my template, you know, my HTML template to just simply put the rest of his book up. He still got his book up. But you would have reporters, especially from Springfield, call in, oh, what do you think about Glenn? And I'd say, well, the problem of it is that Glenn is a, is a coward, and Glenn got the reputation, deserved or undeserved, of being a traitor and a rat and a snitch. Do you know the snitch people out at Fort Smith, the order, and people who didn't even give him any money, like Louis Beam and Pastor Bob Miles and Pastor Richard Butler? And yeah, there's a lot of people. He's wanting to get back in the movement. There's a lot of people who think he's a traitor and a snitch and a no good bastard. Do you know he has a non-white child named Rabang? And what happens, I pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's buddy here, but I just had to let people know about the old portrait dark dark. And then what they do is they go ahead and put that out, and the Trader Glenn Miller said, "Well, who in the hell did you find that out at?" "I don't know, Glenn. I don't know." So, essentially, I pulled the Trader Glenn Miller on Trader Glenn Miller. Oh, well, Trader Glenn, he was sort of hurt. In March of 2004. But he got over it. He started, that Alex Linder started going ass to mouth to each other, and they ain't stopped licking each other's dicks and kissing each other's ass since here. I mean, Trader Glenn Miller pays money off, from the petty cash drawer of the Department of Zongland Insecurity, ever since that here. So, I mean, couldn't have happened to two nicer characters as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, he killed a Whigger. I don't know if he killed a Whigger or not here. Anyway, old Charles Manson. Well, I think Charles Manson has part here. He wanted to have a race war. Now, I sort of want a race war, too. That's what I said in my little, in my little lawsuit. Now, I am going to have to not... Okay, looks like I just got kicked off. And, folks, I'm going to have to reconnect. Okay, connect again. Come on. I got disconnected, folks. Okay, folks, I got disconnected. Got disconnected, and let me go ahead and change my nickname again. In any case. So, any case, Brian Real, I think you do better as Northwest here. So, yeah, I'm sure you end up having a bunch of people bored. I'm sort of tired myself, but getting on with it. How did I get on to Trader Glenn Miller? I don't know. On this lawsuit, I went ahead and asked that everybody who wasn't allowed to vote for a white nationalist candidate to get out of jail free, shouldn't have to pay taxes. And that's about what it boils down to. Because, folks, if you're not able, it's not only the fact that I wasn't allowed to run as a Republican candidate or a Libertarian candidate or whatever. It's also a matter that white nationalists were not able to vote for me. And folks, if a white person isn't able to cast a vote, then essentially, how is he represented by this so-called representative form of government, this Republican form of government? Answer, he's not. So if he doesn't have any chance to actually vote, then why in the world should he pay taxes? And more to the point, why should he obey the government officials or obey the laws that they come up with? Essentially, if you're going to disenfranchise an entire segment of society, like this portion does, I mean, way back before 1944, niggers were disenfranchised. And rightfully so. Niggers have no place in a white society. None at all. Now, I did go ahead and add a caveat that I have gotten votes from niggers from, inner Kansas City and St. Louis. And what they are is they're Calypso Louis Farrakhan niggers. You know, niggers of Islam. And the niggers of Islam sort of like me. The niggers of Islam sort of like me. And the reason they sort of like me is that I do advocate that, if they'll all just move to Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama and Mississippi, as far as I'm concerned, Northwest, I hope you don't get mine here, but if all us white people move up to the Northwest, why in the world should them damn niggers, get to move, have their own damn country? We'll call it Nigeria. N-I-G-G-E-R-A. Why should they have N-I-G-G-E-R-I-A in Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi? That sounds to me to be fair. They can have Nigeria. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's N-I-G-G-E-R-I-A. So, folks, I mean, and I did go ahead and say that. I have, on these small Libertoon Party ballots or Reform Party ballots, I have actually gotten more votes than my competition. And the reason I have that is that, I have told these thinkers that, as far as I was concerned, if they all just move to the Southeast and move out of Kansas City and St. Louis, it's sort of cold. They all moved to the Southeast, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. I sort of think that niggers ought to have their own damn homeland. I mean, it seems fair to me. Well, we ought to give away any of it. Well, I said, well, shoot, rather than have them essentially, take, large portions of it, if we could have peace with niggers, why, it wouldn't bother me a damn bit if you end up letting them have, Atlanta. Atlanta could be the new niggers' homeland. And, folks, you know that niggers are suing white counties because they think that these white counties, these niggers are moving to, they just went ahead. The biggest news is the 2010 census. And by the way, Missouri is going down from 9 congressional seats to 8 congressional seats. Now, Missouri, what they've done is that they've quietly, they haven't gone front and center like Arizona has done, but what they've done is they've quietly set it up to where they're trying to get the Beaners to leave. They're trying to get the Beaners to leave if they don't have jobs in the chicken plants like Monette, a.k.a. Mexinet, which is 18 miles east of me. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get the wettest of the wetbacks to leave. And some of them have pretty well left. What they've done is that they've quietly passed it to where if a pig is pulling someone over, back in the old days, they just simply not ask the critter a green card. Now what they're doing, they're sort of asking for the green card. If the Beaner don't have a green card, they deport his ass. And they have waited a few chicken plucker places here in Butterfield and Monette and a few other places. So as a result, Missouri has lost a entire congressional district. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to squeeze it out of St. Louis. St. Louis has lost population. Now, what St. Louis has done over the years is it's set it up to where if you have as few as about 100 people, they can set up their own independent municipality. That's what is called segregation by municipality bringing. And pretty well they've given up on St. Louis, especially South St. Louis, North St. Louis, and a number of places. And yeah, they St. Louis has pretty well just given up on, pretty well given up on holding the line with niggers. I mean, it's pretty well lost a lot of population, and that's part of it, part of the reason as well. But going on, I'm sort of looking at this here. Is there a Christian identity in Europe? There's some. Well, St. Louis isn't dying. St. Louis is pretty well dead. St. Louis is pretty well dead, except it's not quite as dead as Detroit. But you have these niggers moving out of Atlanta, and they're trying to sue white people for running away from niggers. The niggers are moving from Detroit to Atlanta. Atlanta's lost population too. They are moving to suburbs around Atlanta. Now, folks, when I was a truck driver, us truck drivers have a name for the beltway around Atlanta. We call it the Watermelon 500. And folks, if you're trying to get into Atlanta, at 7 o'clock in the morning, give it up. Give it up. You might as well just park at a truck stop or a pickle park, aka a rest area, as opposed to just sitting there in the 5-lane parking lot. Might as well just give it up. And the same thing for Atlanta from 4:30 to about 7 or so. Same thing. And folks, I've never been able to figure out how any white man can live in a place like Georgia, can live in a place like Alabama and Mississippi. I mean, it just gets so very hot, so very humid. Now, I'm a Swede raised in South Dakota, and pretty well, it's a lot different. It's a lot different in South Dakota on the high prairie, where about the only trees you have is cottonwoods in the creek beds, and you have no humidity. I mean, I just could not understand how people could actually live in places like Houston or Galveston or Florida or Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi. But there are some people who live there. I guess they like it. I don't know how they can. So, let me see. Well, I'm glad you're doing pretty well here. I think Northwest. I'm assuming he's one of Hill Covington supporters. And by the way, I'm going to talk about what's been going on the last week or so. It's sort of been on the quiet. And folks, I didn't get my lawsuit. I'm not going to get my lawsuit against Sword Mamser. Once you go ahead and you do legal writing, it just takes a lot out of you. It's not pleasurable. Writing, it's something that you really don't like to do, and then you do it and you feel like you've given birth, and that's exactly the way I feel it's done. I mean, it's slow, intense writing. It's not fun at all. I went ahead and said, Eugene, Oregon really wasn't the hometown of Herbert W. Armstrong. He was actually born around Des Moines. I used to have to go ahead, and everybody who was in the church used to have to read the autobiography of Herbert W. the Pervert. And he'd go on and on and on about how he's a successful advertising man, and he did all this sort of stuff, and he did all that sort of stuff. And Eugene was actually, you might go ahead and say, it's somewhat the birthplace of what was called the Radio Church of God, to where in the depths of the Depression, Herbert Armstrong found a job as a minister from the Church of God Seventh Day out of Stanbury, Missouri. I'm not quite sure where Stanbury is, but you do have a few congregations of Church of God Seventh Day around Joplin still. The bad part about it is that they're just sort of gaga about niggers and stuff. They sort of think like they're sort of like the Salvation Army, that they have a duty to feed niggers. And I don't know what the hell that is all about. I mean, they're nice people and all, but that's not my way of doing things. So, getting on with it. Let me see here. Niggers have all sorts of notions. And what they are is niggers sort of like faggotry. And what they will do is that they will latch on to some white guy who will take care of them, especially if the white guy's a faggot. And there's no such thing as really a tame nigger, but they like pretending to be tame niggers. So you gotta keep an eye on these niggers here. You know what I mean? Well, Egyptians were, Egyptians now are niggers, but back in the Old Kingdom, the first five dynasties, any Nubian caught above the first cataract at Elephantine, where Egypt, Upper Egypt began, was summarily executed. They, essentially, the founding Hamitic people, as they looked at, they didn't need niggers, in their bloodline or in their wood piles, although I don't think they had wood piles in ancient Egypt. But they didn't need them, and they were summarily executed. It wasn't until the pharaohs of the Middle Kingdom started conquering south and pushing on beyond the fourth, the fifth, the sixth cataract, where they ended up coming into Ethiopia and a number of places like that. And, people, wiggers are getting dumber. But getting on, Herbert Armstrong actually was teaching from the Church of God Seventh Day, and he set up, he got the, he had one of these little, 50-watt or 100-watt stations, little bitty station, little bitty transmitter out of Eugene, Oregon, and he started talking his own show here. He had his own little magazine, The Plain Truth, he had his own little show. And he was complaining that whoever he hired as a associate minister, he couldn't trust. And that's why he went ahead and formed Ambassador College. Now, I had problems with Herbert Armstrong. Herbert Armstrong certainly knew how to get the money. He knew how to bring the money in. Essentially, Herbert's church was all about getting money and bringing money in. That's exactly what Herbert Armstrong's church was about. And, really it started foundering, somewhat before the time he died, because a lot of people sort of got tired of that. But you used to have people giving away not only their tithes, they were giving away second tithes, living off their second tithe off the holy days, and giving offerings out of their second tithe. And then once every 3 or 7 years, they're given a third tithe. You had some people who were given as much as 40% of their income to Herbert Armstrong's Church of God. And Herbert Armstrong, he'd write a letter, "Oh, please help save the church before it's too late. Please, please do that." And people would send him money. And then later on, when they'd given away about most of what they had, and they needed a little bit for retirement, "Well, Herbert, well, screw you. Screw you people. I mean, once you give money or land or property to Herbert, old Herbert did not give it back." So, yeah, that's where Eugene, Oregon. Now, I don't know. I've heard it's a, I heard it's a tolerable, passable town. I don't know very much about it. I think I went up it on Interstate 5. And naturally enough, you'll end up having some niggers and beaners up there. But, you know, probably not a whole awful lot. Probably no more than you have in Joplin. So, you know, in any case, if somebody's able to find a job in Eugene or head out northwest, why, hey, that's, you know, that's nice here. I really don't have a problem with Harold Covington's northwest. You know, I don't always agree with it because I'm Christian Daly. I believe that things are going to turn bad all over across the Zogland, and I don't know. You know, I don't know if Harold Covington is going to find 1,000 men or 1,000, you know, alpha, whatever, who's going to go ahead and be able to bring order from chaos in the, you know, in the Northwest. I mean, I really don't know. I really don't know if that's the case or not. So, okay. Did you go ahead and download a Ferrari, did you buy a Ferrari Fenton or something then? Oh, by the way, somebody said they found a second edition of the King James Perversion from 1611 in an old church in England. And they were making a big deal about that. They were making a very big deal about that. So, let me see. I'm sort of looking at what is going on. Folks, I'm going to take a short break. And then I'm going to go ahead and get back what I did today and yesterday is I wrote this thing which had to be done by April 1st, and rather than drive to Springfield, I mailed it out. Now, where that letter will go is it will go directly to the Springfield Regional Post Office, and then it'll go to the, you know, tonight, well, after 4:30, it goes directly there. And then what they'll do is they'll mail it off, they'll sort it off to the U.S. courthouse, sort it off to this here Republican lawyer, and essentially I went ahead later on after the post office closed, I got out the rest of them, including the traitor Glenn Miller, who's a party to my lawsuit. And I'm pretty proud of what I ended up writing at the last minute. I mean, let me see if I can go ahead and, find it. Nope, don't want that one. I'll go ahead and close that window. Okay, don't save. Changes? Well. Let me see. Proposed order. See, he gone ahead, this lawyer, this Robert Hess of the 600, this big firm, which has an office in Jefferson City, I went ahead and changed it. He said, upon consideration of the Missouri Republican Party's motion to dismiss, and then I had an area nation plaintiff's motion and suggestions of rebuttal, and for good cause shown, it is hereby ordered that the Missouri Republican's motion to dismiss is denied, and plaintiff's amended complaint against the Missouri Republican Party is hereby granted. All Republican Party candidates for federal and state office are hereby removed from office, starting with Roy Skunk Blunt as U.S. Senator because of willful refusal to allow plaintiffs and their candidates to run for political office in the Republican Party primary election. The Republican Party of Missouri is hereby banned as a political party in the state of Missouri for a period of time no less than 6 years, as that is how long they have disallowed pro-white candidates on the basis of unlawful and willful discrimination against such candidates on the basis of their race, creed, and religion. All costs, including those of service, in the amount of $230 for service and mileage for refusal to sign the waiver of service, Plus, the same attorney costs that the Missouri Republican Party wants to collect are hereby assessed against this political corporation, which is hereby dissolved as well as banned. Additionally, any voters who have not been allowed to vote for plaintiff selection candidates, or for that matter, any other candidates, are hereby granted an immunity for paying federal, state, or local taxes in Missouri, given that they have been denied representation. Nor do any voters have to obey any federal, state, or local laws enacted from 2006 to 2012, as such were created by politicians and elected and unelected officials who had no legitimate right arising from the consent of the governed, as they refused to allow the electorate to vote for whom they choose. Anyone fined or imprisoned as a result of any laws hereby gets a get-out-of-jail-free card playable immediately within the borders of the state of Missouri. Hail victory. And then I'm asking Greg Kays, United States District Judge, to some order. And then underneath I said, the following proposed order was not so respectfully submitted by the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Errant Nations of Missouri by Pastor Martin Luther Jesuski List, Archbishop of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Errant Nations of Missouri, blah, 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 where I live. Okay. especially on the certificate of service, at the very end of the regular ones, I said, for services, and plaintiffs are also sending emails to the Russian, Chinese, Iranian, and other sundry foreign embassies, as such can be found, so as to advise them not to pay any further attention to that evil bitch Hillary Clinton's or Obongo the African Americans yappings about the human rights, when none of the political parties even bother anymore to give white people any chance, whatever. Any say whatever. Also, Muammar Gaddafi has begged to counter the Obongo doctrine and to send plaintiffs a slightly used surplus T-74 tank loaded up with guns and ammo and fueled up for a trip to Jefferson City by way of Neosho, Missouri. Plaintiffs civilians want ourselves a regime change which is way past due. I mean, yeah, laugh. Old Bongo, he's gonna arm the civilians for a regime change against Gaddafi. Well, folks, maybe Gaddafi ought to go ahead and arm these civilians so we can have us a regime change. I think we need a regime change real bad, far more than them damned Libyans do. I mean. I'm sort of tired of listening to the nigger, but like I told this, lawyer, he was yapping about how mean I was, making fun of the nigger. And I told him that, shoot, better half of Republicans think he's just a nigger from Kenya or Indonesia or wherever the hell that nigger came from, crawled out of. He might be his nigger president, but he sure as hell ain't my nigger president. I don't have no nigger president. You know what I mean? Well, I could probably drive a T-72. I used to drive a 577. You don't have it with a wheel. You have it with these two sticks. Yeah, but you drive using these two sticks, and that's what most tanks are connected to. Because what it does is it puts different power to different parts of the of the treads, either left or right. So what you do is you just pull most tanks. I'm sure it's pretty well that way with the Russians, because it's the way with most tanks. I mean, a lot of them, the newer ones have steering wheels or something like that, and they have mostly automatic transmissions, of course, too. But anyway, I never had to. That 577 had a. It was actually a built up 113. Had a big old Detroit diesel engine in it. But heck, it only get about 3 miles a gallon, if that. And usually, you want to railhead a tank or anything, because it's either so heavy they're so heavy that they're actually sort of fragile, you know, track vehicles are, especially tanks. You have a tank that weighs 60, 70, 80 tons. What it'll do is not only tear up the road, it will wear the rubber pads off its tracks real quick. And then once it wears the rubber pads off, it'll start wearing away on those steel pins and the rest. And folks, a miserable job is a Bavarian winter. You know, thank God I never had to do it. But you go ahead and you shed a track. Oh, it is miserable. It is miserable using the jack that you have, messing with these heavy tracks. And I never had to change one. I'm not sure if I know how to change one. Thank God I never had to change it. You know, the 577 only weighed about 12 tons or so. But it was really sort of light. But you have a big old tank. I mean, especially when I was there, your average tank was the M60. And the very first time the Abrams showed up, it was called the M1 tank, XM1. And the first time it was used was during the 1982 Reforger, a returned forces to Germany in 1982. And that was the first time it was actually used. And it was quite a tank. The Americans used to be well on the bottom here, behind the Germans, behind everybody else. And once they got that brand new, real nice tank, why, they got to the very top over the British, over the Germans, over the rest of them. But I was going to tell somebody. I mean, they were never able to use the M1 tanks in Kosovo or Serbia or any places like that because there simply was no bridges that would hold an M1 tank. And I was sort of arguing with somebody. This guy, he thought he knew it all. But nowadays, a tank is not really in age of air power and even Coronet anti-tank missiles. The Taliban and the rest found out that a tank is real good for intimidating civilians. But if you have somebody with anti-tank weapons, a tank really is just a death trap, especially if the enemy has air power. But I was seeing some of these T-72 tanks there here. So, anyway, yeah, it'd be nice if I'll go ahead and get one. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind going ahead using that tank to mess up that filthy cage here over at Newton County. Have a little drive-by on the courthouse, you know, at the courthouse here. Just crunch that old courthouse. You know what I mean? Then on the way up to Jeff City. But I don't think Muammar Gaddafi is gonna, you know, ship me a tank here. But I can ask. Don't hurt to ask. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous that here they are claiming, that Muammar Gaddafi is a dictator, and he is a dictator. But, folks, here in this country, they pretend that this is land of the free and home of the slave, and that it's the freest country ever. But, folks, what they're saying is that, folks, I don't get to run as a political candidate because I have unclean hands. Why do I have unclean hands? Because I'm a racist. Well, you know, look, dumbass, I have news for you. Yes, I am a racist here. I'm not a white supremacist, you know, but the only reason I'm not a white supremacist, of course I think I'm better than niggers and certainly better than Jews, but the only reason I'm really not a white supremacist is that if it's up to me, there wouldn't be any niggers or Jews to feel superior to. So, I'm escaping by just that much. But I am a white nationalist. I'm a white separatist. Not a white supremacist, but I am a white nationalist. But so what? In short, they allow niggers to go ahead and run, and then 10 years later they allowed niggers in Brown versus Board of Education, and that's something Thurgood Marshall had something to do with. Allowed niggers to not only vote and then get to run for political office. Now, as in Smith versus Allwright, they allowed in Brown versus Board of Education for niggers to get into public schools and turn these public schools into real shit out, you know, shitholes. Now, I was going to go to, I'm running for a board of education, I'm running for a school board, and Monday, I had an abscessed tooth, and my face sort of swole up quite a bit, so I didn't feel like attending their candidates forum on Monday. So, I'm not going to win, so, by the way, that's a number of interesting things to say. But, anyway, yeah, I just know that judge will sign that order, you know. Yeah, I just know that judge will sign that order right away here, not. But I'm going to chew ass on that judge. I mean, look, that Jew judge made that case secret, didn't send me a copy of his order. Didn't even know about it till a month later, till after it was too late to file Rule 59E. And I'm telling this Yahoo, this Robert Hess of what the hell name was it here? Hush Blackwell. And they're a bunch of pieces of shit. Big old international lawyers. Just told that piece of shit that, hey, guess what? What the Jew judge did, he got his ass kicked to the curb. Now, this lawyer filed on the 15th, and the Jew judge, Howard Sachs, got his tack ass kicked to the curb by the chief judge. And the chief judge sort of figured out, said, hey, it don't look good to have a Jew overseeing a case where the lead is an Aryan Nations plaintiff. Don't look good at all. So made him recuse himself and got a new judge called Greg Case. And Greg Case, before the 11th, I have to show why the case should be dismissed for failure to prosecute. And I'm going to simply ask this judge, look, judge, make everybody show up, including Obongo, make them file an answer to that. By the way, make the Missouri Republican Party and the Missouri Democrat Party, make them pay the $240. Make the Missouri state government pay the $240, $230 a piece for all the defendants there, because had to go up there to Jefferson City. And folks, these political parties do not have a right to discriminate against white men. Because folks, if the white man is not allowed to vote, he's not allowed to run, then guess what? How is he made liable to pay taxes to the government? How is he liable to obey the government or recognize these people have any authority at all? Folks, you've turned the white man from a citizen into a subject. And folks, we're not subjects. We're not subjects of Jews. We're not subjects of other figures. And I made it quite clear, is that I think the only solution is civil war, a great tribulation. So, look, lawyer, don't give me this crap that you do not understand what the hell was said, because you mentioned what was said. Essentially, you whine that I'm suing the Missouri Republican Party because they would not allow me to run for political office. So yeah, I went ahead and covered a few extra things here. So folks, let me go ahead and take a quick break. I've gone ahead and talked enough about what is going on. I'll go ahead and talk about what's going on with John Britton and his daughter. Something came up this last week. Last 2 weeks I haven't been covering it because essentially we were waiting for it to work its way out here. So it is understood here. I'll go ahead and give a link to it. So, folks, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Hold on, folks. Okay, folks, before we go to the next break, I'm going to play this introduction on the Civil War. And I'm going to go ahead and play Gorilla Girl. And it's about these weak-willed women who choose criminals, who choose rather violent, mean people. people to hook up with. Because what they are is that they're passive themselves and they want men to dominate them. Now, Martin Van Creveld, the war historian, has pretty well said that the reason that people are violent is that they're violent. That's why they have wars all the time. And women love violent men. So we're going to go ahead and talk about, Pastor John Britton's daughter. But we're also going to go ahead and talk about, when things go ahead and break down. So here goes Unknown to the Wind, which is about the Black Flag days in Missouri during the Civil War. And we'll also talk about, Weak-Willed Women. So, hail victory.
They had passwords that only the initiated understood, and signals which meant everything or nothing. A night bird was a messenger, a day bird a courier. They knew the names or the numbers of the pursuing regiments from the shoes of their horses, and told the nationality of troops by the manner in which twigs were broken along the line of march. They could see in the night like other beasts of prey, and hunted most when it was darkest. No matter for a road, so only there was a trail, and no matter for a trail, so only there was a direction. When there was no wind, and when the clouds hid the sun or the stars, they traveled by the moss on the trees. In the daytime, they looked for this moss with their eyes, and in the nighttime, with their hands. Living much in fastnesses, they were rarely surprised, while solitude developed and made more acute every instinct of self-preservation. By degrees, a caste began to be established, free to come and go, bound by no enlistment and dependent upon no bounty, hunted by one nation and apologized for by the other, merciful rarely and merciless often, loving liberty in a blind, idolatrous fashion, half reality, half superstition, holding no crime so bad as that of cowardice, courteous to women amid all the wild license of pillage and slaughter, steadfast as faith to comradeship or friend, too serious for boastfulness, and too near the unknown to deceive themselves with vanity. Starved today and feasted tomorrow, victorious in this combat or decimated in that, receiving no quarter and giving none. Astonishing pursuers by the swiftness of a retreat, or shocking humanity by the completeness of a massacre. A sable fringe on the blood-red garments of civil war, or a perpetual cutthroat in ambush in the midst of contending Christians. Is it any wonder that in time the guerrilla organization came to have captains and leaders and discipline and a language and fastnesses and hiding places and a terrible banner, unknown to the winds?
Mother, oh,
Tom-tom. Best big way they stays up, you dum-dum. Sword that censors the air, not all day. Even for party can't chase a censoring blade. Sword member, back to lip says after you. Sword member, if he shoots your ass to through. Sword member, them limbusters after you. Sword member, if they try to eat you, you're through. Then will you not see the really crazy clowns? When will they learn they can't roll member faggots down? Sword member censors the internet all day. Even Nimbus can't take faggot ways. Sword member, Pastor Lynn says after you, the Sword Member Show! If you sword, if you choose your ass to do, do-do-do. Sword member, Pastor Lynn says after you, Sword Member, if he sues your ass to through. Sword Member, them Nimbusters after you. Sword Member, if they challenge your ass to through. Okay, folks, we're back. Someone was asked about Lil Sword Member, Brian Real. And from what I gather, Eli James was, he's ragging on Buck again, and Eli James was bitching to Buck McHugh that Buck had told me that Lil Sword Manzer was trying to get on with the Joplin police or something like, you know, police department, and the answer is I greatly doubt it. You know, folks, if Lil Sword Manzer can't get on in Mentor, Ohio, why would little nigger goop faggots all screwed up want to get on in Joplin? Why would anybody in Joplin want to even hire the little bastard? But Eli James was whining, alleged like a pussy, that Buck had sort of ruined it for poor little Sword Manzer to get a job as a policeman in Joplin. And I think that's why he's been posting, him and Oba Genderbender, posting more crap over on about Buck McHugh. Over on the 2.5 Mansers, a.k.a. Oba Genderbender's forum. Looking at what is going on, you have this 12-year-old U.S. boy, 12, charged with hate crime attack for trying to rip off the headscarf off a Muslim classmate during recess. He was charged on Wednesday with assault as a hate crime. He is a student at Staten Island Middle School, being charged as a juvenile. And he's been making fun of a little raghead-esque threatening a raghead girl, taunting her and threatening her on at least four separate occasions. The police report says he asked, "Are you Muslim?" while trying to remove her scarf. The girl suffered minor injuries. The case will be handled in family court. He's also facing disciplinary charges at school. Folks, what are these people doing in this country? They have no business in this country at all. Never did, never will. Folks, though, we should not be over in their country, and they sure as hell shouldn't be over here. Now, I bet this was a white kid who's being charged with a hate crime. Roxy was looking at this soap opera this afternoon, and he had a bunch of mamsers, a bunch of beaners, and a bunch of niggers harassing this little blonde white kid on this soap opera thing and stealing away his towel. I don't know if it was a dream section, but a dream scene or something like that. But folks, you have in this country to where these people are looking forward to harassing our people. Okay. Let's see what's going on in chat, and then I'm going to cover what's been going on with to remove his... Oh, Rio is asking Obi to remove his threats to Buck. Well, okay. He's asking that the threat be removed. Okay. Well... Well, I have no idea here. Let's go ahead and look. I'm asking this threat be removed, please. Well, I better save the thing here real quick. Is what I better do. Better save this threat, real. Better save this, I better go ahead and save this, Let's see, I better go ahead and save this real quick. Before it disappears, folks. Here, hold on. Okay, folks, it seems like Little Sword Mamzer has asked that Obagender Bender over on 2.5 Mamzers remove these threads that he wrote about Buck McHugh. And I'm thinking that probably Buck McHugh and his lawyer have gotten up here to where Little Sword Mamzer realizes he has a lot of exposure, a lot of liability. So that might very well be the case. He's gone ahead and asked that these threads be removed. So I went ahead and saved them. I'm going to go ahead and show by how evil and vicious this critter is. But it's really not up to me to decide what Sword Mamzer and Buck McHugh end up doing. But we will see what ends up happening on that. Alrighty. Well, but you know, Brian Rios always wanted to get in the end. Okay. The thing about it is, folks, maybe y'all screenshot, because I'm not really allowed on the Finkelstein thing unless I use a proxy. And I can't really save it too awfully well. Let me go ahead and get on. I think I'm getting a little bit tired, but I'm gonna go ahead and cover what I already covered my lawsuit. Looks like Hunter Wallace, he's back to coming a little bit of stuff here, but you don't have too much on. I'm gonna go ahead and cover what has happened in the last week or so. Now, folks will say, well, what happened in the last week or so? And the answer, as I'm pasting it right now, is that in Bannock County, which is Pocatello, about 2 weeks ago, really about 3 weeks ago, a month or so ago, his son-in-law, Chris Luna, decided he didn't want to go ahead and get along with his wife no more, so he got him and his mother, Lorena, known by John Britton's granddaughter as Greentooth, Hoxifer and Greentooth. They decide to send John Britton's daughter, Joy, to the nut house. And old Greentooth went ahead and lied, said that, oh, the kid was being hurt or something like that. And they got the girl sent to the nut house for 96 hours. Well, she met a boyfriend there, a white guy, who was a lot nicer than Chris ever was. And folks, way back in the end of 2009, the very beginning of 2010, John Britton's oldest daughter, Joy, was seeking divorce from her husband, Chris. And here you had Brian Wright showing pictures of John Britton's daughter, Joy, with a black eye. And he was stalking and stalking and stalking John Britton all through 2009. That was one of the things that pretty well had me say, enough of Visser. Of course, the main was is I caught Visser trying to, steal Galette's church, and I got annoyed about that. And then I got annoyed at Mamzer antics from Brian Wright and a number of things. But part of it was stalking on the part of Brian Wright. Well, I took a picture of the black eye, and all these pisser possums pretend that John had, given his little daughter, his oldest daughter, a black eye. Well, no, that was from the husband. Anyway, they're going to get a divorce, and here John was driving a truck, and most of the time he was gone, and he'd have to go ahead and drive, and this Chris is a rather manipulative bastard. But essentially, this divorce was about to go ahead and crush this manipulative bastard into a fine little pulp, but he talked his wife into sneaking her stuff in the back seat of Lorinda's Cadillac when they were supposed to do a custody exchange of the daughter. And I don't really need to name the name of the minor daughter, although, Chris Luna goes ahead and says it quite a bit, but it's a little girl, and now she's, about 3 or so? 3, nearly 4, something like that. I'm not quite sure. Generally, when John has her over there, this little girl's playing with John's youngest daughter, and, she's in split-tail heaven. And John, I bet he really wished he had a son, but instead he had 5 daughters. And his mother and his wife and all his daughters, I mean, they drive the poor man to distraction. You know what I mean? Now, I like, my favorite grandchild was my daughter, granddaughter Helen. But, I can imagine you get pretty well wore out if you're just surrounded by nothing but split tails continually. But anyway, the granddaughter ain't that crazy about John because he makes her mind. He don't put up with any of her nonsense. But essentially, you hear her chirping around like a little bird or a little monkey or something like that here. You hear happy, child, sounds here. But rather than crush this critter like a, like a bug, I mean, essentially, John was in his daughter Joy's corner. The Mormon church was in, Joy's corner. The local mean, vindictive bitch lawyer was in Joy's corner. And she pretty well betrayed everybody. And old John was hurt by it. And I didn't say very much about it. Well, things are going bad. And about 2 weeks ago, John asked me to draft a letter for him. And I drafted a letter for him simply asking, oh, Chris, look, you're saying to be a helicopter mechanic or something like that. Why don't you just go with John up to Alaska this you know, this summer season. Go up, you know, during the summer, make some money, get a quiet divorce with joint custody, and essentially just have an amicable divorce. And no, he couldn't do that. He sent her to the nut house. She found a new boyfriend. He was having a fit because the boyfriend was a lot nicer, to where, she was 83 pounds, and now she's back up to about 93 pounds or so. And what threw her back, I went ahead and wrote this letter, and essentially he informed John Britton that he had already pulled an accomplished fact on Joy by seeking a divorce and getting an ex parte order against her so she couldn't see the kid. And essentially, me and John were flabbergasted about it. Well, what the little bastard did is he got his mother to write up a bomb threat or something. And somebody who's all bundled up, posted it on the court, the Bannock County courthouse door in Pocatello, Idaho. And later on, here comes a veritable platoon of 17 law enforcement people, including four of them from the U.S. Marshal's Office, going ahead and rounding up this 83-pound woman, putting her in shackles, putting her in a little cage, putting her in a little cell. Don't let her have bond. Don't let her have nothing. Won't let John or his wife. They had to drive 4 hours from Emmett to Pocatello, 200 miles or so. They had to drive 200 miles, 4 hour, 4 hour drive or so. Wouldn't even let happen. And what ended up happening is that the judge figured out that Joy, that wasn't Joy's handwriting. She didn't write it. But folks, you just know the little bastard went ahead and got old Green Tooth or Lorena Luna to go ahead and write this note in hopes of framing Joy for it. And the reason he had all these U.S. Marshals, four of them, the rest of them from God knows where, was to hear their saying that this 83-pound woman is an Aryan Nations member because John is Aryan Nations or whatever. Oh no, domestic terrorism. Oh no. And folks, I'd have gone ahead and brought it, but essentially I didn't want to bring it to everybody's attention. It sort of died out. But what ended up happening is a week goes by, and then old Green Tooth, this bitch, does she get 17 law enforcement officers, including four? The judge at the courthouse went ahead and told Chris, look, boy, if I find out you've been involved with this, it's going to go hard with you. And he turned Joy loose. But, still, they're out to screw old Joy out. I mean, from what I gather, the worthless bastard has gotten what he wants to do. He has gotten a ex parte child support order against Joy. The worthless bastard doesn't want to even go to work. He wants Joy to support him. Now, the poor girl's barely able to support herself. How's she going to support Green Tooth, Christopher, and the kid? Not going to happen. But, pretty well, we've been doing some research. And a week or so later, here they do. They arrest old Green Tooth, or Lorena Luna. And she looks like a hefty heifer. This is why she weighs at least 80 pounds, 49 years old, only has one tooth. The name Green Tooth stuck with Lorena Luna, Chris's mom, and she's a crazy bitch. She gets a nut check. She's from Arkansas. What can you expect? She's from Arkansas. And in any case, Oh, there's a number of stuff about Chris. Yeah, he has a juvenile record, and we know what it is, and I'm not going to reveal it just now. Not just yet. I might, if you know, I end up having to. I don't have to reveal it just yet. But essentially, no, 17 cops. Essentially, they're just charging her with a misdemeanor. No Department of Homeland Security. No U.S. Marshals. Essentially, what happens is that the crazy bitch was the one who wrote this threatening bomb letter or whatever. And it gets in the paper, and Chris has about a day to malign Joy Britton. And then John gets word of it, and he asks me to, well, I can't go ahead and get on this. Will you go ahead and write something for me? And I start going to town on the worthless bastard. Just start chewing his ass up one way and down the other. Essentially, you know, hey, look, you worthless bastard. We know damn well you got green tooth to write the letter. And essentially, I filed six messages here, and after four, they started moderating me. But then I think they decided that Chris had used them and abused them, so I'm no longer on moderation, sort of dying down over on that webpage. Okay? But Zuqua.com, that's where Brian Rio's pictures are at. But folks, the reason I'm going to go ahead and let Harold Covington and a few other people know about this shit is that here it is, some little 83-pound girl who, you know, look, I mean, she's the most pathetic of John Britton's five daughters. I mean, his second daughter is a scrapper. You do not want to get, you know, you do not want to get into a fight with John Britton's second daughter because she nearly broke his jaw. And he got in trouble here for slapping the little bitch back. You know what I mean? And he's talked about it a few times before. I mean, you do not want to get scrapped with his second daughter. But his oldest daughter is just, you know, I mean, you know, John says that his daughters are one of two types. They're either Swedish milk cows, you know, because his mother is mainly, you know, Swedish. I mean, his grandfather used to call them a bunch of yodelers. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Swedish on the boat do sound like a lot of yodelers. But, I should know. Anyway, yeah. I told John, old John has remarked, I said, shit, them damn Swedes, you're tied with a dollar in their jewels. I said, oh, shit. I mean, you get a Swede fresh from the boat here, I mean, he'll make a Scotsman or a Jew. Look like a spendthrift. I mean, shoot, a Swede fresh from the boat. Just hardly would not get rid of a dollar. And he said, well, yeah, you're like that. I said, well, no, I live fairly well. I eat fairly well, you know, but I'm able to live on my real modest inheritance here, you know, rather well, in fact. But, he says his mother used to be like that. So, you know, his daughters are either one of two types. They're either like daughter number two and daughter number three. They're either Swedish milk cows or they're English skinny minis, like daughter number one and daughter number four. And I'm not quite sure what daughter number five is like here. But anyway, the youngest one. But, here they go after an 83-pound woman, sopping wet, and the whole idea is to create another Aryan Nations bomb threat, to pull another Edgar Steele or Kevin Harpham, essentially it was nothing more than just some little girl who, you know, doesn't mind daddy. And daddy is no longer responsible for her. You know, daddy still loves her, but you know, he can't make her do what she's supposed to do. And he says he's always had that problem with that, you know, with his old starter that way. You know, she just gets a little notion in her head, and I said, well, if she knew what Chris had done, what a monster he was, would You know, was she still married to, you know, still married that bastard? And he said, oh yeah, shit, they're, you know, these idiots are taught school that they can go ahead and change evil people. So anyway, over the last, I sort of leaned off the last day or so, but I was whooping ass on Wiggers and the rest of them, and on Chris and the rest. I was whooping ass on them over on, localnews8.com news, whatever, that I went ahead and put in. But, folks, here they are, the Zogland is trying their best to find some excuse to put our people into prison. And, folks, you don't want to let them have a reason to do so. You want to keep your mouth shut. Now, they know about me. Well, folks, that's why I don't inquire about anybody's on this channel. You know, who they are, what they do, where they come from, because it's not really something I wish to go ahead and, you know, cover. But folks, they were after that little 83-pound girl. You know, I stink on shit. You end up having, what, 4 U.S. Marshals, and you don't know what kind of rest of the pigs were, but you had Idaho state pigs, as well as just local sheriff's deputies. You had a platoon of them, and they had her shackled. They had her shackled and cuffed and stuffed, and, Aryan Nation's bomb plot. And it turned out it wasn't Aryan Nation. It's just a worthless, you know, just a worthless, stupid bitch from Arkansas who's evil son is writing the stuff up. But what is unforgivable is they will not even charge that bitch with anything more than a felony, even with a misdemeanor, even though it should be a felony to go ahead and make, you know, I mean, they closed that courthouse down for 6 hours, closed it down, had all these bomb-sniffing dogs and what have you there. Oh, it was going to be bigger than Spokane, I guess. And guess what? All it turned out to be, it was just a goofy bitch writing a letter, and, you know, because old Christopher got her to. I know damn well, you know, it wasn't Greenpeace's idea. You know, it was old Christopher's idea to do it here. And they ought to charge that bitch with a felony for not only doing that, but forging. You know, forgery is a felony. I don't know why the hell they done it, but from what I gather, Joy went ahead and asked the bitch, and her boyfriend asked the bitch, and the Bannock County prosecutor got all tits out here, and, hey, I am the law! Well, no, bitch, you're not the law. You're supposed to go ahead and force it equally. You know what I mean? We're all forced equally. If you can't go ahead and have somebody you're going to, you know, put your thumb on because they're politically incorrect and they don't love the government, even though Joy, you know, I mean, Joy is the most disobedient of John Britton's children, according to John. You know, he can't do anything with her. But, in any case, you know, here they are, going after some little harmless bird-brained girl. And, you know, here's old Chris, my mom is dead, you're alive. Well, look, you worthless bastard, you weigh, what, 240 pounds? You short, you weigh about 3 times as much as your little wife does. And, essentially, the worthless bastard is trying to get around, is trying to go ahead, just like a nigger, or an Indian, or something like that, live off of his white wife. That's what the worthless bastard's trying to do. It didn't need to happen. I went ahead and drafted a letter. Hey, look, Chris, just go ahead. Your father-in-law ain't going to give a hard time. Just have a quiet divorce, joint custody, no fault. You go your way because he's been screwing around too. You know, he had a little girlfriend. She had to have an abortion when this shit was happening about, what, 18 months ago or so. So, folks, I mean, you know, look, just have a quiet divorce, and both of you get custody, and you just go your own way and just say, hey, you know, mistake was made. Just go your own way, and, You know, hey, just leave things be. You don't pay child support, you know, Joy don't pay child support. No, the little bastard revealed that he had, you know, he had gone ahead and asked for a divorce 5 days previously, and that he'd gotten, you know, the divorce papers served on Joy, you know, about a day or so previously to when John was asking me to write him a letter, just simply saying, hey, look, let's just go to Alaska. You keep the kid. You can go ahead and keep the kid at my house while I'm up, you know, you and me are up in Alaska. We'll do the helicopter thing here at the logging camp. No big deal. You'll make about $200. You'll make $200. We'll just live at the logging camp here, away from everything, and collect that money. But no, I mean, the worthless bastard couldn't do it. Now, folks, from what I gather, helicopter aviation is a rather closed field, and people learn that this character is a liar and a forger, you know, as well as a wife beater or something like that. Yeah. He's not going to get any damn job. He's not going to go ahead and get any job. There's a lot of people who think John Britton's a racist asshole, but they do admit he's one hell of a helicopter pilot. And, folks, would you trust your life with somebody who's a liar and a forger? Now, folks, I wouldn't. I mean, from what I gather, them helicopters are a lot more dangerous than trucks. I mean, you can pull a truck alongside the road. I've done it here a lot of times as a truck driver here. But my God, if you don't know what you're doing in a helicopter and that helicopter isn't fixed right, why, you can die real quick. That thing goes down like a rock. And, last year, John was sort of, talking about how he knew three helicopter pilots and he's the only one that's still alive. And the other two died under essentially similar, you know, similar conditions here. Bad maintenance. And, you know, his problem is that the, Rolls-Royce, you know, the, subsidiary Rolls-Royce manufactured a defective part, put it in there, and that's why he has, you know, that's why he had a helicopter crash, way back when. And, you know, no, I mean, in any case, folks, I mean, you know, it seems to be looking better. I'm not going to go ahead and tell about the latest good news, and the news have gotten better here. I mean, it's got to be better here from being, having about 17 pigs, some of them from the U.S. Marshals Service and God knows where, you know, throwing you in jail. You know, for being a mad bomber, domestic terrorist. I mean, you know, I mean, Joy was innocent of it. It was just so Green Tooth. But I get annoyed that, you know, a piece of shit like Green Tooth, who's being run by her worthless monster son, all that bitch gets is a misdemeanor. What they intend to do is cover the thing. Because if it's just a misdemeanor and all she gets is $100 fine or something like that, no big deal. Well, guess what? Is there any motivation for Christopher to talk? Well, guess what? If mommy is facing a felony because of what little Christopher told her to do, yeah, that's the way it should be. It ought to be a felony. It ought to be a felony to go ahead and make a bomb plot. You would think there would be. Not a freaking misdemeanor. But no, they want to let, you know, I mean, this is the way Zog is at. Zog wants to kill us all. Really does. Really, really does here. So, anyway, over the last, 5 days, I pretty well started whipping the shit over on this here, forum. So, I'm not really revealing anything. You guys can read it for yourself. You know, I'm Pastor Lindstedt, by the way. And, well, Zog will fuck you up. Zog is out to fuck us up. If you don't obey the Dirty Juice commands. In fact, I think I know what the bumper music is going to be for this episode. So, folks, I'll go ahead and come back in a little bit and probably have the third segment of Movement Turd and probably end around 11 or so. Okay? There was some dork named Hal who thought the Phibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit
Anybody threatening judges, ring a jury, clap the house, baby. The house gonna be my dick, swigger, bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bug. A little Guido loves digging fox, it just tickles and cocksuck. The colostomy bag's name is VNN. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Mississippi little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that nigga was East Molester, a pisser, pisser, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can.
Okay, folks, we're back. Probably for the last section. Well, Hunter Ross was talking about black red America, Atlanta suburbs too white. And in Georgia, a bunch of African Americans and containers finally call them niggers over on Occidental descent think the new Atlanta suburbs in Fulton and DeKalb counties are too white and have filed a frivolous lawsuit against the state of Georgia in federal court to revoke their city charters. Now, these niggers are claiming that their voting rights are being violated, not because Bull Connor or the Klan stopped them from voting, but solely because they are outnumbered by white people who understand about niggers, certainly in Fulton County. If we look at this realistically, there's some white flight going on. The creation of these Sandy Springs-type cities enables white voters to get away from black voters. And the answer is, of course it does. Folks, it's just like this piece of shit lawyer in Jefferson City, part of a big old law firm who we celebrate diversity. Well, celebrate diversity, then hey, why don't you, instead of living in Jeff City, why don't you simply just set up in East St. Louis? And you could go ahead and work on crack niggers or something like that instead of looking upon white people as somebody to be exploited, somebody to be used, and somebody to be abused. Now, here you end up having niggers actually acting in federal court like they think the white people have a right to support niggers. And, well, it's sort of like The Walking Dead. Sort of like The Walking Dead. In fact, I think that picture is from The Walking Dead, to where you have Atlanta, Atlanta after white people, and you have The Walking Dead. Folks, I really like that picture. It's a zombie movie, and I've compared wiggers to zombies. Get that quite straight here. But folks, increasingly, as part of everyday discourse, you have these people saying that racism, even though it's not officially a crime, it ought to be a crime. Just like you had that lawyer say about the same thing. I had unclean hands and my case should be dismissed because of my unclean hands. Well, what's my unclean hands? Racism. What are these niggers claiming that these white people outside of Atlanta, outside the Watermelon 500, what's their crime? Racism. Why are they racist? Because they don't want to share with niggers. They don't want to share with beaners. They don't want to share with any of these people. But folks, all across this nation, you have these Whigger stands falling apart. You have these public servants or public workers finding out that, guess what, thanks to Jews looting their pension funds because of their, you know, because of their dishonest trading, that now they, you know, they're not able to go ahead. I mean, Whiggers are not able to take care of themselves. And it sort of makes me wonder why in the world niggers think that this gravy train is going to continue. Folks, there's a rule that when things are unsustainable, they don't stay sustained for long. And this stupid nigger has just got us in a third war that we're not really going to, you know, that we don't have the money to pursue, and that we're not going to pursue in any case because, guess what? There ain't anybody who's able to take care of it all. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump, Trump the chump, he was yapping about how old Bongo don't have a birth certificate. You can have old Donald, you know, Trump the chump talking about, I'm not a fan of Trump the chump. You know, Donald Trump. I mean, if he ain't a Jew, he's certainly, you know, I mean, he's just a Whigger who has all the nature, you know, the nature of a grasping Jew. But here he is, even saying that old Bongo doesn't have. You know, so this guy, I'm looking at Market Ticker, and he's on there. And in any case, they're talking, you know, they're talking about not drilling. I'm pretty well looking at what Carl Denzer is saying. I may go ahead and post some of this stuff over on there. Well, these people are worried about, I guess old Trump the chump wants to go ahead and run and be president, but what gets me is that he's saying the same thing I did, you know, and other people did, and most Republicans actually believe, that old Bongo is a fraudulent nigger, that the Jews have forced it off on us. And the critter has no business. He's not even an American citizen. He's just a Kenyan nigger whose slut mother was looking for some more diversity sauces, so she moved the critter to Indonesia. Indonesia. His name is Barry Soweto or something like that, and after the Indonesian, you know, foster father or whatever. And even John DeNugent said that Obama was his real name. You know, essentially, old Obongo looks like this nigger named, you know, communist nigger named Frank Davis, who got some Whigger pussy from it's slut mother, you know, race mixing slut mother. Oh, by the way, Obongo's white, you know, grandmother died two days before, you know, he either got elected, selected, or he got it in the White House. She said that she didn't care to live to see a nigger get in the White House. And, folks, you end up having people, they're figuring out that things are not getting going bad. But the question is, who is the first one to do something? Well, here on the Movement Turd, why, folks, I'm never scared to say nigger, and I'm never scared to get into it. Get into it with a number of people. Really not scared about it at all. Now, let's go ahead and see what's going on in chat. And, folks, I'm probably going to go ahead and maybe cut this segment short because I'm getting a little bit tired. But, where am I at? No, I don't want to hide. I'm looking for... Oh, come on. Okay, there it is. Rush. I'll be darned. Sing Mams is a meta. Number 7, I really need to go ahead and work on that song, and I need to work on another to the tune of Whiskey for My Man, Beer for My Horses, called When Elijah Said to Ahab, Here in Our Day, Son, A King Has to Pay for the Wicked He Done. I need to do those two songs. I need to do Mamster's a Mentor, and I do need to do, you know, that. What I usually do is I look at it, and then I, you know, look at the lyrics, and then I change the lyrics, and sing it a couple times, and get used to it with the MP3. And, folks, I do indeed intend to, go ahead and get that done. Let me see. You ever heard of Nicholas Schreck? I've heard of Nicholas Cage. And James Mason. I've heard of James Mason. I have heard of them. Well, Manson wanted a race war. Folks, to be honest with you, I also want a race war. That's one thing I'm probably going to go ahead and mention in my, brief to this judge, this new judge, this Greg Kay. Essentially, I'm going to ask him to essentially bring all these defendants in, have them answer. Now, the number one, the one against Obongo, I mean, folks, when I filed that, when Obongo supposedly won, you didn't hear too much. You know, you didn't hear too much about the nigger not even being a citizen. Now, pretty well everybody is talking about it. David Letterman was talking about 6 months ago. You have Donald Trump, who has nothing but to talk about how Obongo is not a U.S. citizen. Essentially, nobody believes nigger is a U.S. Citizen at all. Nobody believes it at one bit. They know dang well the nigger is not a citizen. Okay. Look at that here. Oh, to the, to the tune of Werewolves of London. Yeah, I know how to say it. Doot, 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 doot. I mean, I am going to get it right here. And folks, what happens, I don't have the movement turd number, 63 up from Sunday, and, I need to get this one up, and I do need to get a number of things done. I really do. It's just that... See, the thing about writing legal paperwork is you gotta pretty well drive everything out of your imagination. You've got to drive everything out of your imagination, and you've got to do nothing but think at the task at hand. And... folks, it's tiring work. It's tiring work. I mean, I feel like I've given birth. I got everything done. I didn't wait until the video. I mean, usually I would wait till the very last minute. And what happens is that I would be doing now what I was doing at the same time last night. I mean, getting up there, getting the scanner running or something like that. Well, by the way, you know, Hewlett Packard used to be when I was a kid the very best electronic equipment. I bought me a wireless printer, and be damned if the latest upgrades to it has disconnected the optical character recognition software, so I had to get out the original disc from over 2 years ago that I bought when I bought Toshiba number one from October of 2008. I had to get out the original disc and load it into Toshiba number two in order to get optical character recognition. That's how screwed up stuff is. And in some cases, some of the stuff has not improved at all. Yeah, well, it was ruined by the Jew corporate raiders, and, it used to be, a heck of a company. I mean, I remember when they made calculators. They were the best calculators ever. Of course, they were more expensive calculators, But now Hewlett-Packard is just simply nothing more than a marketing company. It's not a manufacturing company, it's a marketing company. It markets, essentially it just markets Chinese made stuff here, you know, under the Compaq name or the Hewlett-Packard name. And that Carly bitch was running for U.S. Senator, or United States Senator in California, I think, and shit. I mean, that bitch sort of screwed up Hewlett-Packard. I remember reading about it when I was locked up in the nut house. And, no, I mean, things have really sort of gone downhill as far as manufacturing is concerned. I remember when I was, attending college 30 years ago, 30-some years ago, and a Hewlett-Packard calculator was the best calculator. It had reverse Polish notation. Supposedly it was faster than just going ahead and using a Texas Instruments calculator. And, oh, she was the front for the Jews that, you know, lured the company. Well, you had the same thing happen at Sunbeam. Over at Sunbeam, used to have a big old barbecue plant. It used to be Buddy L, and it was Sunbeam. And we made barbecue grills, and they also made some bug zappers, but mainly barbecue, you know, grills. And you had this guy named Chainsaw Al Dunlop, and he came in, and he played games with the stock to rise it up and to make it rise up, but he screwed up the entire company. And he cheated investors. And this one guy said, well, yeah, I can see it coming, because essentially he was just using his front man for, you know, you can say Jews, he's a Jack Mormon, but yeah, you had a whole bunch of insiders who were out there to rip the company off. And Chainsaw Al was used as the excuse to go ahead and rip them off. So, Hewlett-Packard. Well, okay, Hewlett-Packard. Let me spell Hewlett-Packard. Well, you're right. I am getting a little bit tired. But yeah, the bitch was rewarded, but she didn't actually win for California U.S. Senator. I mean, I guess they sort of figured in California they'd rather have Governor Moonbeam than the same bitch who took down Hewlett-Packard. For my guess, she was a stupid bitch who really just screwed shit up. So, Packard, oh well. Who knows? No, I mean, Mr. Packard were two engineers, electronic engineers, who actually did a great deal of work in the early days of the computer field. Yeah, Frank Wager said it wasn't Bob Hewlett and Dave Packard, yeah. These people actually were, you know, well, these people actually did. I mean, they created, I mean, a Hewlett-Packard calculator usually costs about, oh, a bit more, you know, not quite twice, but it costs about a time and a half more than Texas Instruments. So I remember back, the Texas Instruments 30 was the really first big scientific calculator, but Hewlett-Packard had a pretty good one too. And I don't know where my old Hewlett-Packard calculator that I had from engineering school days. But it was a solid piece of electronics. It really was. It was quite a calculator. Chances are, I don't know where it's at now. But, no, Hewlett-Packard used to be top of the line. Now, it's pretty well, I don't know, you might as well say it's sort of like a Packard Bell. I don't know if any of you remember Packard Bells. They were the computer that a whole bunch of people didn't know anything about computing would buy. The first thing right off. And those Packard Bells would, they were cheap computers. Usually, if anybody bought a second computer, they did not buy a Packard Bell. But usually people didn't know any better. Their first computer was a Packard Bell. I don't know why I'm getting off on this. Folks, I don't know. I think I pretty well just run out of steam. And, well, they were, yeah, they were the best. In fact, I think they came up with the first programmable calculator. I remember at Crowder College we had the thing, and it cost $1,500. What it was a programmable calculator. It was huge. It weighed about 150 pounds or so. It was huge. Well, that's from 1996, yeah. And I'm talking about a programmable calculator from 1977, from a way long time ago. Okay? Well, anyway, folks, I think I've pretty well run out of things to say. I'm gonna go ahead and end this segment of Movement Third. Oh yeah, I know what a TRS-80 was. You wanted to buy one. They cost about $500. That was a good deal of money back then. And what they do is they connect to a black and white TV of all things. And people would use them to do basic programming with. Yeah, I remember the TRS-80. That was another ancient computer. Same way with a PET. I had a Texas Instruments 499. I still have one now at the shop. I haven't used it for years. But, well, there's no hard drives in them, no. You had floppies. I remember the days where computing, when I was in the Army, I had this guy who bought an Atari 800. That was one heck of a computer. Well, I didn't remember the UNIVAC. I never seen a UNIVAC. But, folks, we used to have some of these big old computers that they used to calculate rocket trajectories with. Here, they looked like trays. Big old trays here. And, folks, those were obsolete. Back when I was studying engineering or pre-engineering way back in the, late 70s or so. So it's been a while. Anyway, folks, here I am talking about the good old days and not talking about what's going on in the movement. I think I need to pack it in, and I think I need to go to bed. So I'm going to say, hail victory and good night for here at the chat. And if I can think of something else to talk about, but, I do need to get number 63, and this one will be 63.5, and I'm not quite sure what to talk about. But, folks, I said I would get the lawsuit out this last week or this week. Well, I guess it's going to wait another week or so. But Lil Sword Manzer seems to be sort of behaving himself or wanting to behave himself. But, hey, don't forgive and don't forget. So, folks, I'm gonna call it a night. I'm sort of tired. I'll go ahead and finish off with sending a number of emails tomorrow. So, for now, I'm going to say, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Like a poster boy is gonna make you wind up dead. That's what this little beaner faggot Brian Rio's daddy said. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her gayest one, it seems. She sold her snatch for taco meat so you could live your dream.
Brian was a beaner boy who liked to take it in the rear, and even broke Front's Billy Roper realized that it was queer. Dickie Barrett took it in spite of its mestizo skin, after he kicked that beaner out. Some nigger did Dickie in. Even folks from skinhead say sword mamzer's fucking gay, they ought to keep him far away from any normal white folks. Eli was playing games trying to bring that beaner in. He called in late one Halloween. A cyber shit storm soon began. Eli met his match, you know, in a hovel down in Granby Mo. And on the turd his screech was heard. Now everybody knows. Even both front skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay, they ought to keep Rio far away from any normal folks. Now Brian ought to give it up, go back to sucking nigger dick. He ought to know the jig is up, we're fed up with that beaner prick. Soon that dirty beaner snitch may end up being Leroy's prison bitch and dying in a lonely cell of AIDS before it burns in hell. Even both front skinheads say Brian Rio's fucking gay, they ought to keep it far away from any normal white folks. Even both front skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay, but Dickie Barrett let flip away out of blindness, I suppose.
Okay, folks, we're back. This is being recorded on April 9th, about 10 days, 11 days after the chat. And I've been remiss in getting out the movement turd. But a number of things have happened since then. And what this was mainly concerned about was how Joy Britton's estranged husband, Chris Luna, and him and his mother, Lorena Luna, also known as Green Tooth, had together conspired to work on getting a divorce from Joy Britton Luna. And so they sent her to the nut house. They claimed a number of things which wasn't true. And usually Child Protective Services, who eat up, you know, want to go ahead and give a child to its mother, have been pretty well fighting with this dirty little evil little bastard who is a criminal. And folks, during the first divorce proceedings, it turned out that there were, you know, pretty well was found out, and this vindictive divorce lawyer bitch was going to bring out the fact that Chris Luna and his brother Basil had molested their 4-year-old sister, and Basil went to prison over it, but Chris didn't because he was only 15 years old, or he was a juvenile. And at the time, we thought there were 8 sealed records. Now it turns out there's 12 sealed records. And even as late as 2008, when he was married to Joy, he was contributing to battery and property destruction. So this is a violent, sociopathic criminal. Now, Joy has gone to the prosecutoress of Banyan County or Bannock County, and essentially, from what I gather, she got all tits up and said, "I am the law, and I'm not going to go ahead and charge Greentooth with writing, with making a false forgery, even though a forgery is usually a felony, and certainly forgery to try to go ahead and send somebody to prison like poor old Joy. And, no, I'm not going to do anything. It's just going to be a misdemeanor." So, bringing in, 17 pigs, including some 4 from the U.S. Marshal Service, from what I gather. That's what Joy's new boyfriend said. And from what I gather, the new boyfriend, he's somewhat of a wigger, too. But he was saying that Chris is a piss-poor mechanic because he pretty well did a number on Joy's car. To where he had to go ahead and fix the thing, you know, right in order to drive back to Pocatello. But you have essentially Zog making a big deal, and the reason they made a big deal is that they thought Joy Britton was John Britton's most disobedient and scatterbrained daughter, had written up a bomb threat. So here you get the U.S. Marshal Service, you get Federals, probably the Department of Zogland Security, probably the FBI, and you get all that work up, and it turns out that all it was some crazy bitch who writes a threatening letter and probably has Chris or one of his buddies paste it to the courthouse door, and they were trying to get Joy Britton put in prison so that he would have a free hand to go ahead and get custody of their daughter. And that is how evil, vicious people work. But folks, this is an evil, vicious system. It shouldn't be against the law to not love this government and to understand that it's falling apart. When it falls apart, that there needs to be a place for white people, and the white people need to deal out with the vermin themselves. That needs to be done. And there is no other solution other than making sure that this degenerate population dies in this Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is part of the good news or the gospel. It is good news that evil people will die. Just like Yahweh says, is that the cities of the wicked will not spread across the earth. Why? Well, because evildoers cannot get along with each other, much less maintain anything going on. I think that verse is Isaiah 14:20-21. It says that the cities of evildoers shall not spread over the face of the earth. And folks, most of our Whiggers and most of our Zoglings and Mamsers, I mean, it's a degenerate population. It's not just a degenerate government. It's a degenerate population. So therefore, this is not really a revolution. This is more of a letting nature take its course and let there be a gigantic collapse so that when Jesus Christ comes back, there's no more excuses saying, well, hey, we tried everything here and nothing seemed to work because we were not capable of ruling over ourselves. And the answer to Jesus Christ will have to that is exactly. The whole purpose of people having free will is so that they can go ahead and choose evil, and choosing evil, suffer for that evil, suffer the deaths and agonies and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So what is the purpose of the show? The purpose of the show is to go ahead and show that in the case of John Britton, they were trying to get at him through his idiot 83-year-old daughter. Now, from what I gather, she has a few things they're starting to look up. And part of this podcast is to pretty well say is that, folks, we know about Chris Luna and we know about this evil government which is doing what it's doing. The Pocatello or Bannock County, pig lice ought to be known as child molester friendly. They have regime child molesters here who run wild and, I mean, would you allow a 3-year-old girl to be put with someone who has a sealed record? And why is this record sealed? Why in the world shouldn't people know about this character at all? Now, ask John Britton if Joy Britton knew about him. He said, well, no, Joy's an idiot. And she's taught in the Whigger Factory to believe that that people can be educated away from being evil, which is a liberal Whigger idea, which is a communist idea. You see, the right believes in biology. They believe in blood. What the left-wing people believe is that they believe in ideology. They believe that they can go ahead and force people to confine to their own little notions. And that's what Lothar Stoddard said in The Revolt Against Civilization, that the Bolsheviks who were against biology. That's why they went ahead and let Lysenko teach and preach that wheat could be edumacated into sprouting in Siberian snowbanks. And as a result, created a disaster, which was 40 years of Soviet agriculture, which turned the breadbaskets of the czars into nothing more than just a starvation regimen for Russian agriculture. So, folks, you have the same sort of thing. Just like Cain was the first Bolshevik, he was the first Jew. And Jews and Bolshevism go together. Now, we live in a decaying, mighty evil empire, which is decaying, which has Jew roots, which have Jew beliefs, and especially this prosecutoress. She's supposed to go ahead and go against somebody who may have had something to do with a bomb plot. Instead, she chooses not to. So, folks, what is the other option? Well, the other option is to say the truth about what we do know. And, well, are you worried that Chris Luna might sue you for saying this? I says, well, the thing about it is, though, if he goes ahead and says it, I'll have to say, well, folks, where I found out what I found out. And, therefore, you let them 8 or 12 or however many records you have sealed, let them come unsealed and find out if I'm telling the truth or not. Folks, this was found out during the first attempt at divorce proceedings at the end of 2009 and early 2010 before Joy screwed things up by deceiving her mother while her father was away driving a truck and going back with this monster, and now she's learning the hard way that she should have ground that cockroach, that evil, vicious cockroach, into small pieces underneath her 83-pound foot. But she refused to do so. And now she's learning the hard way that you don't cut evil slack. You don't cut evil slack. You don't cut evil people slack. They have to pay for the wicked they've done. And the only way to make them pay is if they will not learn. I mean, even left-wingers aren't able to learn. They're not able to change their biology. They're evil because they're evil. They're evil from the bone. That's what dual seed line Christian Bendy preaches. That there's some people which are a good seed line, and that there's some who are an evil seed line, i.e. the Jews, and i.e. Mamzers and Whiggers who allow this thing to happen. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and end, and just like in the days of Florian Dyer, there is no P peaceful solution. There's only the matter of letting nature take its course and then dealing with it and doing away with evil. So I'm going to go ahead and end this show, which is long overdue, with a Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless his own. And good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh. White men don't leave us home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war home on the corn as long, let red blood flow. When Adam dealt and Eve defend, Kyrie, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie, white men go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war home on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On dogling neck, please stop for food to stamp out gasco. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi, hi, oh, the love of God our only need, hi, hi, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi, hi, oh. Our sons won't have to go and fight, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.